Let's talk about all things Rapid Growth Media, the stories, the headlines, and we'll start with the publisher, Tommy Allen. The Thursday edition is out in my mailbox of my email. And Tommy Allen, good morning.
Good morning, Shelley. It is so good to be back. It feels like every month it gets a little bit better out there, but we do know that we're in for the long haul here. So we're celebrating the goodness that's happening in our community, those who are solving some of the problems in our society and amplifying those voices to make sure if you're feeling a little lost or shaken or not sure if you should take a chance, you can like step out into that light and try something new.
Thank you for that. And again, we'll give all the contact information for Rapid Growth Media so your inbox can be filled on Thursday mornings. Let's talk about all things Access of Michigan Food and more. Do your introductions, Tommy.
Absolutely. So I'd like to welcome today to our audience, you know, Aaron Skidmore, who is the Good Food Systems Director, Access of West Michigan. And so this is a local nonprofit in our community that ironically started the same year I arrived in Grand Rapids in 1981. And this initiative has goals of cultivating a just and equitable food system that are going to not only work, but also point to successes. So we have this fresh off the press op-ed, which is our op-ed that we started during COVID-19 called Publish Together. And Publish Together today launched Interrupting a System of Emergency with a System of Justice. I'd like to welcome Aaron first, and then afterwards I'd like to read something Aaron wrote. So welcome, Aaron.
Hello. Thank you both for having me this morning.
So I really like that you wrote, Aaron, here in your opening comment. You say, West Michigan is known for its philanthropy. In the food access sector, we have hundreds of nonprofits, churches, and agencies working to address hunger and food insecurity via an emergency charity food system that is now over four decades old. Mm-hmm. An economic crisis like COVID-19 creates an emergency that amplifies deep disparities and deserves an immediate response to address the emergency. It must then be followed closely by a long-term plan to ensure that disparities are addressed through proactive strategy, not continued emergency response. And boy, we are kind of in an emergency response right now. And I think a good place to start would be, how are we doing under COVID-19?
Yeah, well, COVID-19 obviously has kind of pushed all of us into some sort of emergency or panic or stress. But what we know, and like what you just read from the article, a lot of the things that we're seeing taking place, especially in the food system, these are disparities and issues that have existed for decades. So what COVID-19 is doing is highlighting these pieces of our food system that are not working for all. They've been designed in a certain way to assist some, but not everyone. And so we're just seeing all of this come to light because of sort of this thinness in the veil that is happening now.
I really like to use the word highlighting, because I think that a lot of times people think it's cascading effects, but really COVID has really just allowed a lot of us to see more clearly. Do you mind talking a little bit more about the highlighting concept to you and what it means to you?
Yeah. So in our food system, I mean, the food system is massive, right?
Right.
And there's so many pieces and moving pieces to it. But right now, you know, I'll use West Michigan as an example. All the philanthropy that we have hundreds of free meal sites and programs, which are really great. And actually, during COVID-19, it was really impressive to see a lot of these food providers come together immediately and work together. And we have that to be thankful for. But we can't get stuck here. COVID-19, you know, we have a lot to address. And what we need to do is really look at how did we get here? You know, obviously we're all sort of panicking and things are happening, but this is a tough time for all of us, especially in the food system. And we're seeing that.
I think one thing that's really fascinating about this topic, too, is, you know, you mentioned about the designed in a certain manner. You know, some people may immediately, I'll be honest, may get really defensive when they hear that because they may have been a part of that system for a long time and that we don't give room for evolution to happen. And so before we get to talking about your roots, I'd like to talk a little bit about that designed, that idea, you used the word designed in a certain way. That these, you know, the way we do things has been designed in such a way, but that design has some insights, I think, from you that should probably be illuminated for the audience. So,
yeah. So, when we look to our history and look at the systems that are in place, including the food system, what we see is, you know, we can talk about redlining, we could talk about disinvesting from communities, and we can talk about segregation, and all of that has, you know, food plays a part in all of that. And in the charity food system, you know, in the early 1980s, we had a lot of things happen that were an emergency. There were government cuts to funding, a lot of programs that were cut at the time. And so what we saw was this just sort of uptick in food response, which I think, you know, at the time is good, but it was never intended to last as a system and become a system in and of itself. And these systems have been set up in a way that those with sort of end up dominating and having power over those who have been marginalized. And that just in and of itself, that creates a problem. That's an issue.
I think it probably flows, it sounds like, maybe from what we often hear, that kind of missionary mindset. The idea is that, you know, there's an old quote from, I shouldn't say an old quote here, but it has roots within indigenous people's knowledge, but it's from Lila Watson, who said, if you've come here to help me, you're wasting your time. But if you come here because your liberation is bound up with mine, then let's work together. Yeah. And I think it's really powerful because I think you're kind of hitting on that. It's like this idea of doing to a community in a sense like they might be in need or lesser than kind of falls in that missionary mindset, I think, that often permeates so much of our not-for-profit work here. And I think it's important to kind of illuminate that really if you show up, you really are on the journey too. And I think there has to be something asked of you more than just stocking shelves and handing out food, which are important pieces. But there's an educational component, and I think you hit on that. You know, so maybe talk a little bit about knowing one's history might, and I mean history not of the organization, but knowing one's personal history and where you are maybe in the culture as an individual. How have you benefited or not? Privilege, I guess, is what we're talking about.
Yeah, it is what we're talking about. And I, you know, for myself, I didn't really realize that I had a personal connection to the food system or I didn't own it or invest in it until college. I was in some courses in which we were talking about food and our connection to food and people's connection to land. And it really started to all sink into me that, wow, my choices, the food I choose to eat, the places I choose to buy my food, that all has some sort of long-term impact that I need to find out more about. And so for me, you know, this became personal, this food journey that I've been on and have a long learning way to go. But then it's really pushed me to want to see, okay, what is the history here in the U.S. with our food? And how can we address the fact that, you know, you said it, like my privilege, the white savior mentality has actually caused a lot of harm. And we need to own that and learn from our history in this way in order to make change then moving forward.
And it's hard, I think, sometimes to have these kind of conversations around privilege. I know a lot of people try to give people, I think they try to give them comfort. And I think there is some importance to give people comfort that, you know, look, before you go into defensive mode, just sit with it for a while. This is something that's been a bit of a concept of my own journey. And since we are talking about journeys here, I think, you know, you kind of mentioned this idea about your journey in this thing. So before you came to the Good Food Systems as a Good Food Systems Director position at Access of Michigan, West Michigan, excuse me. I wanted to know, you know, what was your journey? Because you mentioned college, you mentioned you've learned things along the way, and then you land with us in 2017 in this position. So maybe share a little bit about your background for our audience.
Sure. Well, my learning in education was at a local university, and it was in anthropology. I was very curious in human relationship to everything. And so that's where it really hooked me, this our relationship to food and my relationship to food. It led me into a journey of working out west as a volunteer and intern at a nonprofit food organization. I worked for a couple of farms, just learning a little bit about the process of growing food. So I enjoy cooking as well, actually, cooking and eating and sharing hospitality with food is really important to me. And so all of these pieces and, you know, my journey of higher education, but also just experience in the world has all culminated to my role here at Access. And I'm quite thankful for that. And, you know, I know also my journey isn't done. So even in this role for the past almost 4 years, I've learned so much and am quite thankful for that learning.
Nice. And of course, I'm learning here, WGBU, morning show you're listening to, and our regular guests this first Thursday of the month, Tommy Allen, publisher with Rapid Growth Media. Special guest today, Good Food Systems Director Aaron Skidmore of Access West Michigan. About 5 minutes left or so, Tommy.
Well, I think one of the things that's interesting, too, about your work is that, you know, the organization you came into now, Aaron, has, you know, over the last 6 years has been going through some shifts, and you kind of joined them in the middle of that shift now. So I just wonder, do you mind sharing a little bit what some of those shifts are so people maybe can draw a line between maybe that path, you know, as we all aim higher, as I say, in this world, you know, to do better, to be better, how we work within the systems around us. You know, what are the changes maybe that you, your organization had started, but now you're charged, it sounds like, to continue?
Yep. So, you know, we realize that the charity food system is not working. We have low-income communities and communities of color facing economic disparities, and we realized we need to do this differently. And so, you know, one of our values is collaboration. And so what we're doing now and hoping to continue to do in the future is try different models of food access, healthy food access, to increase fresh food access for communities across Kent County. And so we're doing things like setting up affordable farm markets in community centers. We are working with local clinics so that they can provide veggie vouchers or fresh food vouchers to those experiencing chronic illness. So we're trying to address, you know, health overall, holistic health with food. And we're doing that in partnership, which is, I think, one of the most important pieces of making change in our food system is working together.
And your history is really about that networking and that collaboration, but then you're taking it to the new level. You didn't mention about trying things. So the idea is what have you tried and maybe didn't work out quite right, or maybe didn't work out in the one venue? Because a lot of times when we talk about programs, we forget that some things work in one place and then they may not be duplicated in another, because there's a lot of factors and complexities that are available in any environment that we enter. So what are some things that maybe you tried, it didn't work, but maybe you learned from it?
Yep. So, you know, one example is that for a while we were funding CSA shares to be purchased and used as a convener of, you know, a class, a CSA class at some local food pantries. And in some cases, this worked really well. And in other cases, we found that some of the teaching that was done by, you know, quote unquote professionals was not really relatable to those who were showing up to class. And so, you know, we had to make adjustments, kind of face the fact that, wow, you know, a professional maybe is not representative of the community that this class is being held in. And we really need to consider that because it's really important. And so, you know, we've made adjustments to our work along the way, and we're realizing that we're willing to fail. And we need to in order to learn and grow.
So my final question is, under COVID, there's a lot of instability that's happening, a lot of need that just kind of appears. You know, talk a little bit about under COVID, what are some of the needs that you have, how we can help you in a way to join you in the work, not to just be that white savior mentality that mm-hmm. we often, you know, hear about, but how can we help you create greater impact as a community?
Thank you for asking. I think it's easy for us to want to do something that we see the results of right away. But for us at Access, we are really asking people to join us long-term and investing long-term. So that might look like simply, you know, donating and trusting us and trusting our partner organizations with dollars that we can use in our impact areas. Also, you know, we always encourage people to learn. We love to offer workshops and, you know, trainings and speaking engagements where we can learn and share our journey in order to bring others along in this work. We're looking for that kind of support, and not just for the immediate response, but for the long term.
You talk about transformation of a community, and that really is quite beautiful. And I like that because, like you said, we cannot just keep doing the same thing over and over again. And this is something I would say that philanthropy is beginning to shift as well locally, to understand that we have to create greater impact, an impact that becomes exponential for good.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Shelley's here. No, Shelley's ready to ask for final comments and contact information. And I will start with you, Aaron.
Awesome. We just know that this time during this pandemic is still with us. And we just want to encourage everyone that this is an optimal time to make change. And we're trying to do that. And we'd love for you to join us. And you can check out our work at accessofwestmichigan.org.
Thanks for your passion.
Perfect.
What do you leave us with, Tommy Allen?
Well, I just want to remind people that under COVID, Rapid Growth made a lot of changes. We're now attempting to publish more daily stories as well as our weekly wrap-up, which allows, you know, people kind of have that magazine feel we've been known for since 2006, 15 years almost of work. So Publish Together is a new op-ed format that allows me and our editor to directly work with people in the local market, to listen to their stories, but help them find their voice, lifting up voices that are not often heard in our community. So visit us at rapidgrowthmedia.com. You can sign up there with just give us your email address. It'll arrive every Thursday morning, or go to our Facebook or Instagram or even on Twitter. There's lots of places you can find us. But most of all, just know that we keep growing under COVID. We've recently expanded into Ottawa County, and then we're looking forward to this month to start some more expanded coverage within Kent County. So we are in a growth period as well, and it's an opportunity to keep telling more stories of our community to make everybody's life here a little bit better than it was maybe before.
Great stories, great community. Tommy Allen and Aaron Skidmore, thank you very much for this conversation.